All right, we're about ready to start our teaching. We'll be starting with our lesson, Apostasy, One-Third of American Pastors Believe in Reincarnation. Apostasy, One-Third of American Pastors Believe in Reincarnation. We're going to go first to the scriptures, which I think is very fitting because reincarnation does fall under Hinduism and Buddhism that comes from the East. We've seen a spiritual invasion of Eastern religion, Eastern philosophies infiltrate this country since the 1960s, and it has escalated even more where a lot of the Eastern practices has crept into the church unaware, where you have people that aren't really truthfully students of the Word of God, rightfully dividing the Word, and also being promoters of sound doctrine. We go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, which really focuses on the day of the Lord, but we're going to just read those two passages of scripture. This is the day of the Lord. It's talking about this in Isaiah. It says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So Jesus is the light of the world. We see that in the book of John, which it calls him that, but let's go ahead and read on. Verse 6, it says, For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with the Eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. So they are filled with the Eastern ways. We can go back. There's nothing new under the sun, which Solomon states in Ecclesiastes. He states this, where this is Satan's lie from the very beginning, just repackaged over and over again, that he told the woman to, in regards to eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you won't die, surely you won't die, and you should be as gods. This is the same thing. So we look at reincarnation and karma. That's basically, that's what it's tied to, which we will get into. Primarily, eye-opening research that George Barna did. George Barna is a prolific Christian researcher. He did this in his cultural research center there at Arizona Christian University. Came up with a couple of things which we're going to highlight. He states in his findings from his research that he did earlier this year that 37% of Christian pastors hold a biblical worldview. So basically what Barna did, he studied different religious or Christian denominations. Here's some of the groups that he focused on and surveyed these senior pastors. The groups that he pretty much looked at in his research is mainline Protestant churches, which is American Baptist, Episcopal, Evangelical Lutheran Church, Church in America, Presbyterian Church, USA, United Church of Christ, United Methodist Church, Evangelical, Baptist Bible Fellowship, Free Will Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Convention, Disciples of Christ, Evangelical Free, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Presbyterian Church in America. Then he looked at traditional black churches, AME, which is African Methodist Episcopal, AME Zion, National Baptist Convention of America, National Baptist Convention USA, National Primitive Baptist, Church of God in Christ, Charismatic and Pentecostal churches. He looked at Assembly of God, Church of God in Cleveland, Foursquare International Pentecostal Holiness, United Pentecostal, and for holiness, he looked at Christian Missionary Alliance, Church of God in Anderson, Church of the Nazarene, Salvation Army the Seventh Day at Venice. So when Barna studied, he found that at least 30% or a third, one third of pastors, of American pastors, hold the belief of reincarnation. So when we look at the breakdown of, he asked the question, reincarnation is a real possibility. Here's what he came up with. Non-denominational, he found 33%. Evangelical, 33%, real possibility of reincarnation. Mainline churches, 32%. Catholics, 47%. 43% for Pentecostals. The highest percentage was traditional black churches at 70%, and holiness, 52%. So you have these pastors, either 30% on up, as high as 70% believe in reincarnation. So you know that reincarnation is definitely a enemy of the resurrection and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not just the pastors. When Barna had did another study with this cultural research center there at the Arizona Christian University, he did this also earlier this year, where he found that 4 out of 10 Americans, or 39%, believe reincarnation is a real possibility, including 51% of millennials believe in reincarnation. So this is really astounding to find that so many people, especially within millennials, this next generation, more than half believe in reincarnation. You hear people talk about make it seem like karma is reaping and sowing and incorporate other things and all. They've taken on the ways of the East with even some of what we call contemplative prayer, incorporates Christian mysticism, incorporates the things of the East, and Eastern philosophy has crept in and has lifted up its ugly head into the church. So you have to be living and walking in the Spirit and discerning the signs and the times that we live in. Amen. I want to go ahead and we want to establish what karma and reincarnation is. I'm going to read a couple of things from Jonah Ankerberg's Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, which has some very interesting things to get our understanding when you hear Christian folks talking these things, that you know what we're actually talking about. Amen. This is karma and reincarnation. Karma is an old Sanskrit word meaning deeds, works, actions. Interestingly, the term has evolved into meaning hundreds of years ago. Karma was understood to simply mean making. Reincarnation means to come again in the flesh. The two concepts, karma and reincarnation, work together like halves, a pair of scissors. Without one half, you would wonder how the thing worked or what it was for. The belief that people have lived hundreds and thousands of previous lives, that they will live hundreds and thousands of future lifetimes or incarnations. People's karma or action and deeds in previous lives determine their physical conditions, spiritual state, and practical circumstances in current and succeeding lives. The quality of each lifetime is dependent on their good or bad karma, or what they have made for themselves from previous lives. Good deeds lead to progress, eventual liberation from the round of rebirths, but people regress through bad karma and back to animal kingdom, or even to lower forms of life. Thus, every deed, good or bad, has inevitable consequences, which is why karma and reincarnation are thought of as laws of sowing and reaping. One's current life has been a result that weighed most heavily from the past, either good or bad. These laws not only explain why one's present condition, they propose a way out of suffering because people who live or believe this way will want to do their level or best to pay off all their bad karma by their good deeds and now their future lives. So Jesus or Jeremiah says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You can do as much good as you can, but you don't come through Jesus, then there's no salvation. I don't care how much good that you do. Amen. It says, they are said to become sheer spirit, having spiritually evolved in the common New Age theme. This is after you paid off all your bad karma. You've reached a certain place where you're not being incarnated anymore. You evolved into this ascended master or spirit guides. You no longer need karma. So pretty much karma and reincarnation in a nutshell is self-salvation. So you have self-salvation. You can avoid judgment. You don't need Jesus as your savior because you can save yourself, because if you do many good deeds, it'll all rack up, all the good deeds will outweigh the bad deeds, and then you evolve into the spirit guide that you help people along the way, which is alive from the pit of hell. So, chief beliefs in reincarnation definitely comes from the East, Jainism, Buddhism, Hinduism, occultism, and within New Age or New Spirituality or spirituality, where this is a result. We must focus that even the Apostle Paul talked about that the resurrection is very essential to the Christian faith and the believer in Jesus, that he rose from the dead. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 3 through 8. It says, for I delivered you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So Christ died according to the scriptures for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And then, or that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. So those eyewitnesses that saw Jesus raised from the grave or raised from the dead. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So some had died, but you had the 12, and then you have 500. So it was verified that Jesus definitely rose from the dead. All right. We go ahead and read on. And then it says, and after he was seen by James and then all the apostles, then the last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. So we see how Paul came down the road of Damascus, and he was met by Jesus, and Jesus, he was persecuting, he was killing Christians, and he says, Paul, why persecute me? So we see that. Let's drop down to verse 12 through 19. It says, now if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Your faith is also empty. So if Christ is not risen and there's no belief in the resurrection, our preaching and our belief, our faith is pretty much just empty. It says, yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testify to God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then also there are those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. So it's important to know that the resurrection is real, that Paul is talking about that if there's no resurrection, then our faith is empty. So when you have at least 30% of senior pastors in America who hold the view that reincarnation is a real possibility, and 51% of millennials believe that reincarnation is a real possibility, people are being infiltrated by the ways of the East and not holding true to sound doctrine and the scriptures and the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way and the truth. No man can come to the Father unless they come through him. So not just his death, but also his resurrection is very essential and very important that we have to make sure we know. When we look at some of the early Christian writings, which talks about reincarnation, one is from Tertullian. He says, how much more worthy of acceptance is our belief that maintains that souls will return to the same bodies? And how much more ridiculous is your inherited pagan teachings that human spirit is to reappear in a dog, in a mule, or a peacock? Here we have from Irenaeus, he talks about Plato. He says, Plato, that ancient Athenian, was first to introduce this opinion of reincarnation. Well, he's not the first, because Satan introduced this in the garden. Pretty much that's, in a nutshell, this repackaged as reincarnation, what he told Eve. Here's Hippolytus. He says, his writings about reincarnation, he says, he will accomplish a resurrection of all, not by transferring souls into other bodies, but raising the bodies themselves. Here we have other writings in regards to people try to say that John the Baptist was reincarnated of Elijah. That's not true, because Elijah was never died. He was taken up. He was taken up into heaven. So how can, and then people try to use scriptures that Herod, that Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnated. How can it that be? But they live at the same time. So you have people that try to twist scriptures to make it seem like that reincarnation is real. It's not. When we go over to, want to go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So it's appointed to a man to die once, and then the judgment is actually appointed unto man. So you can be delusional and believe in reincarnation and karma, like all my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds and all. That is from the pit of hell, that has come from the East. That has been a lie that Satan has maintained for eons and eons. That's one of the things also, too, the beliefs in the days of Noah, the people forsook the belief in Yahweh, the creator. They began to, which Paul talks about in Romans 1, they began to worship the creation versus the creator. They began to believe that you can evolve into gods. They began to believe that's where it originated also to ancestor worship. Ancestor worship also too. You believe that some of your ancestors are these evolved beings who have become gods. So we live in a day and age where people are not enduring sound doctrine. I'm going to go over one last scripture, and that is over into 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils." So you have people that have given themselves over to doctrines of devils. When you have within some of these seminaries have become very liberal and incorporating things that are not of God. You have people that are letting unqualified people take the position as being a shepherd or a pastor over a congregation, which bring in all types of popular teachings and all, instead of testing it with the scriptures and rightfully dividing the word of God. You get filled with the ways of the East, which Isaiah warns us how the children of Israel begin to incorporate soothsayers and all the ways of the East, which is an abomination, and it comes against God's word. So we're living in the last days. We have to be able to be students of the word. We have to test teachers and preachers. When you hear something taught, even what you're being taught tonight, that you're hearing me teach, you go back and you search the scriptures for yourself. You search the scriptures. Don't search opinion. You don't try to, but you search the scriptures to find, try to find out that these things are true, that the word of God is true. You don't take everything that somebody gives you. Like you don't take some food or anything from a perfect stranger. Somebody gives you something and you don't know them. You don't know what they might have laced that thing with. A lot of times we're not familiar with certain preachers and teachers, and we just intake whatever they say, or we just go off the word of what our pastor may say because our pastor's invited them in, and we think like, oh, okay, pastor invited them, must be all right. But you have to, in the day and time that we live in, you have to be able to discern what's going on. I'm going to go over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And this is Jesus saying, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death." So the resurrection, it just wasn't his death, his death, burial, and resurrection. When he shedded his blood on Calvary at the cross for our sins, but his resurrection power also too, we're going to partake of the resurrection, which Paul talks about, which most people don't want to talk about or preach on. Paul states, "I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection." I'm paraphrasing. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. People don't want to suffer. So here we see John on the island of Patmos, that he sees a glorified, resurrected Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, giving him this revelation, and he holds the keys to death and hell. So don't believe the hype. of reincarnation, because we already stated the scripture in Hebrews 9 and 27. It's appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. You have the New Age apostle, Oprah Winfrey, who promotes past life regression, which is reincarnation, promoting all these New Age authors, and people hold Oprah to a high esteem, but you better test what Oprah has to say with the scriptures. What does Jesus say? What did the 12 apostles have to say? That the resurrection is very essential. Reincarnation is an enemy that comes to try to appropriate a lie from Satan to downgrade the resurrection of Jesus. So essentially, we don't hear resurrection, not unless it's Easter time or Passover time. I like the term Passover. You don't hear that until it's around that season, but it's very essential. So young Christians should be, when they're being discipled, need to be grounded, soundly grounded in basic principles of the gospel of the kingdom. So hopefully you guys received something from tonight's lesson. We definitely are living in an age of apostasy. Don't be a victim of apostasy. Be victorious in Jesus Christ. Hold truth to sound doctrine and the scripture, and walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, not into some truth, but in all truth. Don't believe everything that sounds good, that's charismatic. Always test it with the scriptures. Amen. God bless.